This morning is entitled The Direct Object of Our Love. The direct object of our love. And love does take a direct object. Love is not a passive verb to say I love. Of course, love can be a noun also. But I'm speaking about it as a verb of action. To love somebody is to have an object. You had to have an object of your love. And the object of our love, of course, is something we have to go to the Bible for to determine what the object should be and what is acceptable by God and what is idolatrous. If we love certain things, it's idolatry. If you love yourself, it's idolatry. If you love money, it's idolatry. If you love the world and the things that are in the world, it's idolatry. God, that's not the love of God. And I'm speaking this morning upon the love of God and not human love, nor the love for things. Now, there's a lot of warnings in the Bible about what our love should have as its object. There's a lot of warnings in the Bible about things we should not love. And then there's a lot of commandments, not just exhortations. Now, I want to tell you about this love of God. When God puts a love in your heart, He gives you the object of that love to go with it. And He is the one that puts it in your heart. And what is the great object of that love He puts in your heart? It's Him. He puts a love in our heart that we can love Him. And that should be our object. Now, I want to begin with the words of Jesus Christ in this matter of having the correct object of our love. Somebody says they love Jesus. Well, first you have to love God. You have to fear God. You have to repent to God. You got to go by the way of the Father. Now, here's the words of Jesus Christ concerning this great matter. In Mark 12, Mark the 12th chapter, verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the first commandment, in other words, of the ten? Out of the ten commandments, which is the first commandment? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now he's quoting from Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, in verse 5. All right? And we may go back to that very briefly. And Jesus answered him when he asked him the first commandment. He said, now this is it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, there's the object of our love. And the second, he didn't stop there because we have another object, something we can see. Now, you can't see God. You have to love God, who is an infinite, unseen, spiritual being that reveals himself through the Word of God. And he revealed himself through Jesus Christ. All right, the second commandment is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now he didn't get in, but he was close. And no man after that durst ask him or dare ask him any question. Jesus made it very evident here that the Ten Commandments had a new interpretation or evaluation here that he discussed very freely. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he did not abrogate or try to abrogate like preachers do today the Ten Commandments. He only tried to get Christians to perceive the interpretation that Christ gave us on the Ten Commandments, that we ourselves can understand what the object of our love is as a result of becoming a Christian. What is the object of the love that we possess that God so generously endowed to us? And by the way, Romans 5 and 5, Paul made it very, very plain. He says the love of God, the love of God, now that's the kind of love we're talking about, not your old human love that loves apple pie and loves thick steaks and loves water beds and loves thunderbirds and other kind of birds. That's not the love he's talking about. Love of money, love to travel, love my sweetheart, love my sweet patootie and all that. Now that's natural love. That's natural love. Now this is talking about the love of God. Romans 5 and 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now you wasn't born with it. No, you wasn't. He's born of the same kind of love I have had when I was born. You know what that love is? You love that fella or that gal you see in the mirror each morning. That's who you love. That's natural love. And it's really a selfish love. See, human nature is selfish. Human nature is not acceptable to God. There's nothing about human nature that God will accept. Did you know that? Therefore, the Bible, through Jesus Christ and the apostles, contends again and again, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. There must be a change, but not necessarily a change. There must be a regeneration to take place that is miraculous in every life to be able to see and enter the kingdom of God. So then Jesus, by the authority and by the power and by the anointing that the Father gave him, he has to do something for us, and that is to come into our hearts and live by faith that we can overcome that sinful, human, selfish nature that we're born with, and give us a divine love that will overcome and eclipse the results of that selfish love that we're born with. You know, the main thing that the Lord is displeased with about the human nature is selfishness or self-centeredness. That's why there has to be a change in our nature. God don't come down and reform us. There's no reforming. God does not run a reform school. That's what men do to try to stave off disaster among the juveniles that are delinquent, and have reformatories for adult prisoners to try in some manner to reform them or correct their errant ways that they can become a part of our degenerate society. But at men at their very best are only postponing or delaying the inevitable. And that's the breakout of human nature that's going to culminate in a terrible destruction here in this end time. And with all the efforts we made, we're seeing the breakdown of the discipline that God has, well, I started to say recommended, but God has commanded that men adhere to even have any chance of success, any hope of having a family with natural love and children with natural love. But we're living in the age in which the Holy Ghost predicted through the same Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and he says that the love of many will wax cold. He said, we're living in an age when natural affection, in Romans 1, that even natural affection will cease to exist. There won't even be that natural love lingering in this age of ours, that the love of many have waxed cold, and the natural affection of parent for children and children for parent and neighbor for neighbor. The Bible has predicted that under these onslaught and impact of this rebellion and rejection of God's word, that there would be a time and an age where love would